Sahanavavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Where is this page? 55, okay. Brahmanas should execute their regulative duties in worshipping Lord Vishnu. Those who are advanced in knowledge of religious principles must avoid five kinds of irreligion, known as Vidharma, Paradharma, Dharmabhasha, Upadharma, and Chaladharma. One must act according to the religious principles that suit his constitutional position. It is not that everyone must adhere to the same type of religion. Right? So, in other words, Varnashram Dharma is the religion. Then within Varnashram Dharma, then there's subcategories. So eight main, and then within that you can break them down. So when it says everyone's not following the same religion, means they're not following the nature of the same thing, because their position is different. Right? But you have to be able to identify what it is that you are working with. What is your nature? What is the situation? You know, who is the Lord? And how all that matches together. Does that make sense? That's yours. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada mentions that there's only one Brahminical culture.
Yes.
But then we see, according to the Varna and Ashram, everybody takes his own part within that one culture. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. Because, you know, let's say like Pujari, a Brahmin who's doing Pujari work, then there's going to be more he has to be more careful about cleanliness and everything. So therefore his dress and all that will be generally different. Does that make sense? So just like this, let us say you have shoes that you have to use your feet. Your feet, yeah. Okay. Your hands.
Yeah.
Strange shoes, yeah. Feet? Who uses feet? Yeah. Like that. That you have to use your hands to put on. Now, for most people, when they put their shoes on, then what happens? They just move on, right? There's no biggie. Now, if someone's a pujari, now what does he have to do? He has to wash his hands. So, therefore, unless there's some arrangement like that, he will tend towards shoes you don't require your hands to put on. You understand? Little things like that. So you will adjust to according to your nature. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so there will be that flavor, but it's the same culture. But what aspect of Dharma you're dealing with within that? In other words, Krishna is Dharma. So when you're following the laws of nature according to Krishna's direction, we'll call that in general Dharma. But that's why it says give up all Dharma, because it's a variety of Dharma. You know, so the Dharma of a child is different than the Dharma of an adult. You know, or the teacher and the student, or the parent and the child, or husband and wife. Though they're all compatible. That's the beauty of the Vedic system, is all the different Dharmas are compatible because it's all Krishna. That's why we use it, because it's consistent, right? If we're thinking about, we like things to be logical and scientific and exact and mathematical, then the natural thing would be to follow the Vedic system, because that's how it works. Right? So If we don't follow that, then it's a matter of sentiment and who likes what, when, where, how, and everything like that. And you can never judge what it will be. Right? So that's unscientific. But the funny thing is, due to the mode of ignorance, those who are unscientific, they'll claim that theirs is scientific and what is scientific is not. You know, so that's the difficulty. It gets reversed. But the point is everybody's, you're following religious principles, but which religious principles you're following, that's different. And if you say, oh, I don't have to follow those, I'm following these, but then you have to follow, it's a package. You can't just follow which ones you like from one, and, you know, you go through all the different religious aspects and pick out which ones you like and all that. You know, it goes together, because if there's a right, there's an obligation, and if there's an obligation, there's a right. But people will pick out all the rights for themselves and leave all the obligations to everybody else. And so in that way, of course, it balances, right? You know. But the problem is everybody doesn't agree to do all the obligations, so that's the actual social problem. Right? Yeah. You know, so if they would just do what you wanted them to, everything would be perfect. But the problem is that's not science, it's sentiment. Right. So within it, then if you follow the complete, then it's very clear what are your rights, what are your obligations. Because there's a nature, and that nature can do certain things. That's why there's rights there, because certain things should be done. But that means then there's obligations in doing that. You know, just like it said, like we were reading about how Narada Muni's explaining about how the devotional leader is respected. Like that, as good as Krishna, right? As representing the Lord, but that's the position. But his obligation is he can't be proud of that, or take advantage of that, right? So then, let us say, in your modern tradition, what is the problem with having authority? What problems come up in authority? In the authority model, what comes up?
Abuse.
They abuse it. But the point is when it's mentioned by Narada Muni, immediately the point to avoid the abuse of it is mentioned. So the position, the right, the obligations are all together. But in the modern, is it ever discussed that the leader should be, you know, compassionate and kind? Never. It's never discussed. Just he shouldn't take advantage. And when it comes to the populace, then it's always about their rights. Does it ever discuss their obligations? You know, that was a famous one of Kennedy. Right? Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Right? Because otherwise they say, you know, what are they going to do for me? That's their right. But okay, nice. What's the obligation? What are you going to do for the country? Right, the country's taking care of you. What are you going to do for, you know? You know, it's like you have these anarchic guys riding around on chopped Harleys. But the point is the only reason they can ride around on chopped Harleys is because of the government there that allows it. Because you can't do that anywhere else. Right? You know, they're too expensive, right? You know, and you don't have the proper mechanics that can chop them, so. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that the balance is not seen. So if that balance is there, then it works very, very nicely. So that's the whole point, is each religious principle has what it is, what its rights are, and what its obligations. You know, and how it balances with something else. Manu, in the very beginning, that's the first thing to establish, is one, there is authority and respect. And then how that respect compares to other forms of respect. So, in other words, every living entity is respectable, but there's a hierarchy of respect for the social platform. Like that. You know, so knowledge is higher than influence, which is higher than money, which is higher than skill. Yes?
So in executing our duties, how tolerant should we be? Because it's preached to the devotees that you should be everything, and both in your occupation and in your ashram.
So for yourself, the more you are like that, the better you'll get from it. But if there's any way to help others kind of improve, then you can do, if you have that influence. If you don't, then don't worry about it.
Just tolerate.
Just tolerate. If it's disturbing the service and it's something you can do to correct it, then do. But if it can't, then just be tolerant. Because things change anyway. That's the whole point. You know, they're there for some time, and then after that, then, you know, something happens. I forget what it was. I think it was a bucket of water or something, and then the Wicked Witch of the West then kind of disappeared, and all that was left were shoes. I'm not sure, was the hat left? I think the hat and the shoes, I think, was all that was left. So that's the indication, right? If you get out a bucket of water and start scrubbing, then the whole Western, you know, you clean up the whole thing and it doesn't exist anymore. It's based on impurity, right? You know, like that.
That's the moral of the story.
Yeah, yeah. The flying monkeys, you know, like that. You know, it's like that. Yes?
Does Manu actually address rights?
Sorry?
Does Manu actually address rights?
Rights?
It's just mostly about duty.
But duties has both. Just like if you say this one, you respect this particular personality, that's their right to be respected. And it's your obligation. But it's their obligation to then therefore reciprocate. Just like it says, you respect somebody and they don't return that, you're not obliged to respect them anymore, formally, through the ritual. You know, like that. Does that make sense? What do they call that? You know, the whole thing that you do to respect and all that. Formalities. You don't have to use the formalities anymore. You know, so in other words, you offer your obeisances and they all just walk by as if they're the lords of the universe, then you don't actually have to offer your obeisances anymore. It means you can, but I'm saying as far as, you don't have to, but for your own benefit you do, then you'll get. But technically you don't have to. But if they reciprocate, then that's proper. Then that relates, because it's all about relationship, it's all about interaction. Does that make sense? So, yeah.
This is an example, are the pious Hindus in the category of Dharmabhas?
We'll get into detail as we go. Yeah, dharma bhash, upavash, chala dharma, right? Means, in other words, it's like this. By following the Vedic duties, then you'll be prosperous. So therefore, anything that makes me prosperous is following the Vedic duties. Right? That's, you know, that's, you could say, Hindus in a nutshell. Modern Hindus in a nutshell. So therefore, you know, I follow all the duties and that, you know, like that. And but because to get more money, then the kid goes to Harvard, like that. But at the same time, he goes to Harvard, which is not necessarily the position. But then they want to arrange the marriage. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. They just pick and choose what's beneficial for them. So for the parents, then if they choose, then it'll be better for them. Because the girl will like them and this and that, and they can relate and they can control the girl. The same time as the son will bring in more money if he gets that kind of education and that kind of job. So is it about dharma, or is it, you see, because they use when they like and when they don't like. You know? The lady wears the sari, but the guy wears anything. You know, so how does that work?
For the guy, who cares?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that. You know what I'm saying? So you get this very interesting...
It's actually chala.
Huh?
It's chala.
Means it's all those different aspects. It's upadharma, because they're just interested in artha when they should be interested in dharma. It's not actually... So like when devotees talk about morality, generally speaking, it's upadharma. Because it's not morality, meaning what the Veda says on the platform of dharma and duties. Because then you have to take the whole package. Okay, this is their position. What is my position? In other words, if it's just about rights and benefits, it's upadharma. If it's about rights and obligations, then it'll be dharma. Because in the modern political, who talks about obligations except for authority? For the individual, it's only rights. It's never obligation. You know, it's just like, okay, we'll do that. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah.
So, dharma would be rights and obligations?
Okay. Yeah, that would have both of them. That's religion. But sub-religion is just you're taking the moralistic aspect of it, or just taking the economic or the judicial. Mm-hmm. It's about the justice, not about actually what's the nature and what's right and wrong. So in other words, when people are talking about justice in the modern context, what's the basis for judging what is right and what's wrong? It's just what people feel like is right and wrong.
Precedence,
but problem of precedence is it has that element of tradition. So therefore, you pick your precedence. You'll pick, you know, that people do like this, and yeah, you know, that's been like that for so many years. But then the other thing's also been there for that long. You know, it's just like the modern science is that they'll look for the kind of more archaic looking skull, but modern skulls have been there all along. So however long you go back in human history, modern man's skull is there. But they'll just think it can't be, so someone put it there.
And the opposite's also true. You pass people on the street and you can see they have a very archaic skull.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's just a certain part, very much like that. So, but hey, you know. Technically, they shouldn't be around. Yeah, it's like that. What was that? That one.
Ethnic cleansing.
Yes. I mean, some worked on it, you know. But then, hey, you're not supposed to be there. So. Okay.
Right. So the proper sequence would be first comes the position, then the obligation, then the right.
Means you know what the position is, then what you're supposed to do. And that will automatically, because if you do yours, others are doing something complementary, that's where you get your rights. So in other words, your rights come from others, but it's not by your demanding them, it's by them doing their duty. I do my duty, and they do their duty, then we do our obligations, we automatically, you know, support each other's rights. But this thing is, no, I have my rights, I demand it, you have to give it to me. But the point is how do you define what it is that they're supposed to do to give it to you? You know, that's not defined.
Maharaj, what protects the authorities from the propensity of abusing the
Krishna consciousness? It means the higher, in other words, relying more on the higher modes than the lower. Does that make sense? If you use the mode of goodness, there's less chance of problems than if you use passion. If you use ignorance, definitely there's a problem. So how is that going to be done? Is by doing what is recommended for you to do. So using the higher of whatever is recommended for you to do. So use the qualities along with it. In other words, now we talk about the skill, but what about the attitude? Right, just like, let's say, okay, you should be encouraging, let's say you're a manager, you should be encouraging, you know, you should, be personal. Why should that happen? Why should you do that?
You want the job done.
Yeah, you want the job done. So it's artha, it's not dharma. So the Vedic system is, no, you're a person, they're a person, you're supposed to deal with the person. Why? Because the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, therefore in relationship to the Lord, you're supposed to see like that. So we take it from dharma and go up. But the modern, it'll take elements of dharma and then take it down. That's what this list is. Vidharma, Vidharma just means it's against religion. But all these paradharma, dharma bhasha, upadharma, and chaladharma, these are all just, you take it and manipulate it how you want. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's the difficulty, is that it sounds like it's something higher, but they're not going up, they're going down with it. Well, the Vedic, they're starting there, and oh, that's it, you know, what about, but they're going up with it. So the point is if you're intelligent, you'll take it all the way up to devotional service. you know, the next class, then you'll take it up to liberation. And, but at least then you'll follow, you know, because you're a pious guy. Does that make sense? So that's not discussed. So the whole point is what every devotee has to be aware of, it's the same thing. Because we can say authorities, who's jumping up and down about authorities? Okay, and everybody, and where are they situated? Okay, let us say, does the person jumping up and down have anybody who is junior to them in any way that they might have some influence over? No? No wife, no children, no one else working in the area that they work in? And if you check, there's a good chance that they're just as much of a rat bag as what they're pointing out. You know? Does that make sense? So, now if somebody's doing all that perfectly and is making a point, now they're the one, the singular person, who actually can say something. Because they're saying, here, this is how you actually do it. And they're doing it, and then this is what you have to do to adjust it. But then it'll be based on Dharma. It's not about getting rid of authority. Because that approach that what keeps the authority from misusing, is it about authority? Is there faith in authority? Or there's simply a desire that there will be no misuse, because misuse means I get the raw end of the deal. You understand? So then it's about ourselves. So the Vedic system is not about yourself, it's about how you as an individual fit into the greater picture. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point, how the individual fits into the greater picture. Right? The modern thing, when they talk about the greater, there's no individuality. And if they talk about individuality, there's no greater picture. So only the Vedic can deal with both of them at the same time. So you can approach it and only do rules and regulations, or you can actually be personal about it. So that's the whole thing, is that it's being done, it's recommended, because that's the proper way of doing it. That pleases the Lord, because that's proper interaction and relationship. Then along with that, from Dharma, you naturally get the Artha anyway. Because if you're dealing with someone actually personally, sincerely, they actually do the work and you get the profit. But if you only use being nice only to get profit, how real is it? So when they're talking about, yes, be encouraging, be this and that, but how real is it? How much of it's just somebody's mind? And the point is, okay, now let's say that person who's saying, just encourage, just do this and that. Now let's say something goes wrong with authority. What? Now, according to their philosophy, what should they be doing? They should be encouraging the leadership to properly follow and all that, because then everyone will get the benefit. Is that the method used? No. You go in and rip everything down, and then job well done. Everybody goes home. So what does that mean? It means you have no idea about authority, because without authority, the whole thing falls apart. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, there is a lack of a poor fund of knowledge of what is Dharma, what is authority, what is all these things. And because of that, then we just speculate and make up our own. Because if it's about encouraging, then you encourage to do proper. You know what I'm saying? Then you get, you know, if that's the method, then you do that for everybody. And if it's not, you pick and choose who you encourage and who you don't, then that means that there is differences. It's not about equality. It's about individual nature. Does that make sense? So in other words, it's just a political position. It doesn't have any more value than that. Now, of course, you engage in Krishna service, then it gets some benefit. But as a system, why would one use something so inferior in Krishna service? When Prabhupada's, you know, it's like Prabhupada's pointing out, yeah, go over there and buy those big potatoes, the nice white ones like that, and stop looking at these half-rotten ones. You know, no, but the half-rotten ones, you know. That's just, wow. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes.
Did I understand correctly that if you take a position of Dharma and Artha, then you are being impersonal?
No, no, I was talking about if you're taking Artha without the Dharma, that will be the impersonal aspect. Because how does Artha work? It's a generic thing. If everybody puts in their effort, then profit is made. Everyone follows the rules, there'll be justice. Right? You know, there'll be morality. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, in other words, you have ethics, you have morality. So ethics technically is then what is to be done. Morality is the attitude or qualities required to apply the ethics. So that's all defined in Dharma. But people don't take it back to Dharma. So then there's no consistency. That's what we're discussing here, is that the consistency is not there. Is that, you know, you have to be liberal, but with authority we're strict. You know what I'm saying? So, but we're saying is that you can't be strict, but they're being strict. So where's the consistency? What's the basis of this? So that's chala, right? We you know, for us, we've used it this way, but when we shift it over there, we shift the meaning. So when you have heard the term like moving the goalposts and stuff? You're talking about something and then people change what the value is or the so that's chala dharma. You keep shifting it so that you can't actually get anything done. Because right? They're trying to get their work done at the expense of everybody else. Does that make sense?
Do we also do we become like a little bit contaminated if we are under an authority who is
not necessarily. Point is you have your duty, you do it. As long as they create an environment which you can do your duty, what's the problem? What does it matter what they're doing? You know what I'm saying? We have to understand is that as a devotee, we follow the process, we'll get the benefit. Right? So if we follow it, we get. And if we don't follow it, we won't get. Does that make sense? See, because it means you can say, oh, what can I do, this and that, but then you're putting the blame on others. So I am not Krishna conscious because of everybody else. Now, if everybody was Krishna conscious, then everything would be perfect. You know? Like that. But the whole point is everybody has come to Krishna consciousness with the same desire to attain perfection. They've all come with their particular impurities. So it's not that it's not going to happen. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you just do what you have to do and, you know, everything will be fine. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Okay. It is not that everyone must adhere to the same type of religion. That doesn't mean, oh, someone follows Varnashram, someone doesn't. No, so within the Varnashram system, they're following different aspects. It's not that everybody has to be grihasthas or everybody has to be brahmacharis. Or, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Everybody follows which aspect of Dharma works for their position and which combination. Yes?
Referring to this, that the main problem appears to be in the society of the devotees that everybody should be a brahmana, like occupation. And this is very difficult for most of the people.
Well, the real difficulty is being. Oh, it means okay. But who made the position that everybody's a Brahmin?
Well, then referring to the previous discussion, that it's a Brahminical culture.
Yes, but Brahminical culture. But where is it? We're defining everybody's a Brahmin on the Varna side.
Yeah.
We're mixing. See, generally, it's very hard, unless one studies it, one doesn't actually make proper distinction between Varna and Ashram. Because on the Ashram side, that's where you have everybody as the spiritual equality.
Yeah.
But on the Varna side, it's very different. Because that's according to guna and karma. What kind of, was it? Psychophysical, is that the term used?
Psychophysical.
Yeah, the psychophysical nature. That comes there. The other one, it has that application, but you're only applying it how to situate yourself in ashram so you can do exactly the same thing. Right? Be Krishna conscious. But within that, then, you know, study and teaching, or, you know, the grihastha engaging the senses, the vanaprastha, then looking for renunciation, the sannyasi, how you say that, detachment, and all the different, whatever it is that they're looking for that works for that, these are details within it. But the whole point is being Krishna conscious. And then on the varna side, then what is the in the social standing, where do they stand, how do they interact in that? And at the same time, as it does, that's where all your facilities come from. Right? So in other words, if you follow ashram properly, when you apply varna, then you'll get the facilities you require for ashram. Right. Yeah. So, but if these are understood, but generally they're not, so devotees don't necessarily understand how we're all Brahmins.
Yeah.
We think, Brahmins means by varna. So unless we're a pujari, then we're not, we're not Brahmins. So therefore I have to be practical and make a living and take care of the family. So I'm not a Brahmin. So therefore I don't have to follow any of these rules and then this and that. And then these other guys that they're supposedly the Brahmins, but at the same time is they can't understand my position. So why should they be my authority? And on and on and on. Right? So that's the difficulty, is that one performs one's duties according to the nature, but one's doing that for the Lord, so it doesn't matter the position as far as the devotional advancement. And then with an ashram, then that's where you have, you know, whatever you do. You know what I'm saying? So one can follow all the brahminical ashram aspects, though one may not be following the brahminical varna aspects. So to be able to do that, then, you know, that's because if in the ashram you're trying to understand how the Lord's in everything and you're chanting and trying to be absorbed, you can apply that in varna. Like that. So that's how then you'll always be able to be Krishna conscious. Right? So these great personalities that in the Bhagavatam is talking about, then they have that realization in ashram, they're able to apply that within varna. Right? So it's just like Yudhishthira is applying the principle his ashram, dharma, and understanding when they're brahmacharis. He's applying the same thing as grihasthas. And then when they leave, retire, he's applying the same thing. So as your position adjusts and all that, the Krishna consciousness remains the same. So if this is understood, point is the discussion should not be, do we need varnashram or not? Does it apply or not? And this and that. That's, you know, you have one conversation and work that out and move on. Then you start to, how does this apply? How do we understand our position? How to work this all out? But the problem is people are worried about they won't be in charge. They won't have all the facilities. So they want the authority, spiritual authority, the Brahmins, the administrative authority of the Kshatriyas. They want all the money like the Vaishyas, but at the same time do whatever they like whimsically like the Shudras. You know? So it's like, that's Shankara. That's why it doesn't work. That's why Krishna warns against it, Prabhupada warns against it, because Shankara never works. You know. So what to do? Sanatana Dharma, how does it fit into what?
Is Varnashrama Dharma a part of Sanatana Dharma?
I mean, Sanatana Dharma means the eternal Dharma. So what's the eternal Dharma? Devotional service, right? And then how do you express that devotional service? Then that would be according to your position within varna and ashram. So daiva varna ashram and sanatana dharma are the same thing, but most can't tell the difference, right?
Prabhupada speaks about, you know, the attraction of Krishna to the brahmanas, then he's speaking only about the quality of the brahmanas as opposed to taking up the varna of the brahmanas.
Yeah, because otherwise skill is skill. You know what I'm saying? But the point is it's the quality that's there.
And they're not the qualities, but in the 18th chapter.
You know, it's just like, let's say you have this spoon, you take the ghee, you throw it into the fire. Right? Now, to get that whole thing, it's how you say? It's all in the wrist. Right? You know? Because most of you take it and go like this, and they use the arm, and then they get to here, and then the ghee just kind of falls out. But it's not. You're picking up the ghee, and then you actually swing it and turning the wrist, and it goes like that, and then it throws it. You can, however far the kunda is, you can get it there. So it's that skill is what's there. The guy, you know, that plays cricket also uses the same skill. The ping pong guy uses the same skill. You know, the guys that do sewing or do things with the hairdressers. They, you know, they all, it's all in the wrist. When they say, that's just generic across the board. If it's a skill, it's all in the wrist. Right? Cause unless you're using your feet, then it's all, you know, for Beckham, it's all in the ankle. Right? You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is it's the same thing. So is that what Krishna's attracted by? Or it's the quality, because the one guy is doing the one thing with certain qualities, and the Brahmins are doing the same thing with a different quality. Right? So that's what makes the difference. So the skill doesn't make the difference. That's another major mistake in trying to understand Varnashram. They take it, the skill identifies Varna. It's the qualities identify the Varna. Right? Let's say the Brahmin is singing in the temple for the deities, right? As part of the program, then they sing every day for the deities. Now, someone would say, no, he's singing, so he's a Shudra. But no, he's singing for the deities. He's not going out, and you can't invite him for your kid's sweet 16, and then he's going to sing. Right? Does that make sense? So he's not. The guy who will go to that's a Shudra.
So you can check on this?
Hmm?
You can check like that?
Yeah. You can walk up to them and say, hey, you know, my kid said, you know, like that. And they said, no, I'm busy. Yeah, you know, so they say, yeah, sure. Then you know. And then you connect everything else back. Okay, there's all these other things. Okay, that's why. So he's not supposed to be a pujari. He's supposed to be like that.
In the Gita, in the 18th chapter, when he looks, I remember you mentioned it last year, but it explains how for the Brahmanism and Kshatriyas, the qualities that they should endeavor for,
yes,
or value. And you mentioned that Vaishyas and Sudras, it's just their occupation, it's not actually qualities.
Yes. So therefore, if you have a society that only looks at skill, where does that place them within the Varna system? Vaishya and Shudra. Okay, now of all those discussing that, how many are running or have run their own businesses? So then what Varna are we talking about? Shudra. And that's on a good day. Because the Shudra accepts the Varnashram, accepts Dharma, as the Shastra says. Now if we are opposed to the concept, and that, then technically where does that put us? Yeah, so Antija. So therefore, that kind of approach is the approach of Antijas. It's not Varna. And then from that viewpoint, we're going to understand Varnashram. You know, that's like what is it? Goring trying to understand Passover. You know, it's not exactly going to work. You know, because he's pretty expert. They're not passing over anybody. You know, so you understand. So it's just not going to work. You have to. It has to be. That's why Krishna Prabhupada says in the Gita, the first thing he addresses in the introduction is you have to have the right attitude. That means the qualities. If I'm going to do the karma, I have to have the guna first. You know, I may practice through karma, but if I'm not endeavoring to get the guna, then it's just a skill. Okay? You have a doctor. What makes him a doctor? Now, he can make medicine. He can administer medicine. Right? He can do massages. He can do the whole thing. But he has assistants. Someone makes medicine. Some administers medicines, takes care of patients. Someone else does massages. Are they doctors? What are they? Shudras. But in what area? He's making the medicine. That means the doctor, all the doctor jargon, he can talk with him. Does that make sense? So that means is your common person wouldn't be able to understand that jargon, because that's doctor jargon. Right? But that guy who makes medicines, he understands it. So that means he has a brain, he can relate to medicine and all that, but he's the shudra that met for the Brahman. Right? The foot soldier, the bodyguard, the policeman, like that, they're all shudras that have the art that matches with kshatriyas. You understand?
They've learned the skill as opposed to both karma and
guna. Yeah, they know the skill. So they have the guna of a shudra, but they have the karma of a Brahman. So what are they? They're a shudra that assists the Brahman. But nowadays, because it's skill-based, therefore, if you can do the skill, you can say, no, I am that. But it's not real. So that's the point, is that one has to understand what makes Varnashram work. It's very simple, but it's very sophisticated.
But for the devotees, then, we act on any of the Varnas, and then
it's not about we act on any of the Varnas. We act with, Krishna says, we act within which one works for us. Why act within any of them? Why have someone who's got all thumbs and he's the one that's supposed to, you know, do some, you know, delicate work? You know what I'm saying? Because if that's the thing, then, you know, bring in the guy who drives the tractor down at the farm and have him do the, you know, the fine, you know, decoration or stuff. As a Vaishnav, he might be able to do that, but then he's not doing it as a Brahman, necessarily. He's doing it as a devotee. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. It's not that he couldn't be Brahminical, and he's doing that, and then because they need these other things, then he knows that science and he can apply that art. Because you do have it going that way. Brahmins know all the subject matter, can teach all the subject matter. So just because he's teaching music and dance doesn't make him a shudra. But in general, those who teach music and dance are shudras because they're just musicians. You can hire them. But those you can't hire, they only teach. They're Brahmins. You understand? So there's a difference. It's very subtle. So that's the point that I'm making, is that just because the skill, you can't tell the difference. You also have to look at guna. That's why Krishna says guna and karma. Well, we look at karma. Because anything that we do, you have a seminar on something like that, it's always skill-based. It's not karma. It's not guna-based. It's not for the qualities required to be an administrator or the qualities required to do something. Right? You know, it says, you know, okay, you have the, you know, the family thing. So, you know, if the man does this and the woman does this and all that, it's all karma. Where's the guna? You know? Didn't we just read? Oh, it's in the Vedanta Sutra. The wife is bringing the husband under complete control by service. Okay, so we just do, so that's the point. She just does service and everything works. No, there's a mentality she has. That's why it works. But the point is if she's doing that towards him, so he only needs a skill of, you know, accepting it. He needs the guna also on how to accept that.
It's a gentle husband.
Yeah, so it's a gentle husband. Unless he's a gentleman, then why will she do service? So because he has qualities, she reciprocates those qualities. And so it manifests as skill. So the point is, skill is the last thing to manifest. First is the guna, then comes the skill. You know, and for some people, they're able to do the skill that they have the guna for, but sometimes they can't, or they, you know, so that where they match, that's will be proper. You know, it's just like you had the, you know, how you say, president in America. From what I understand, excellent administrator. Excellent, you know, for, how you say, inspiring those who are working with them and keeping kind of even kind of a God-conscious kind of environment, a theistic environment. And you know, he could make things work really well, but when it came to oration, he was, I think, the worst we've ever had. Like that. He couldn't say anything right. He'd always put his foot in his mouth. You know what I'm saying? But as actually, so you want the two to match. So that's the whole point. The two match, then it's excellent. You know, it's just like JFK, FDR. They could manage and speak. And then they stand out. You know, I think it was, you know, even the famous 4 score and 7 years ago. Lincoln, he could do both. Washington, he could do both. So the ones that stand out in history are the ones that they could do both. Right? Because you expect them to inspire and all that and to do. You know what I'm saying? So that's why in the Vedic it says, make them match. Otherwise, if you don't, there's something wrong. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if that's understood, if we then spend our, after that one sit down for 1 to 3 days, you know, whatever it takes to be convinced that the Vedic system is the system to use, then all other discussion should be how to understand it and apply it. What's the relationship? How to make it work? And then after years of that, then one will be able to make it run fairly smoothly. And as time goes, it'll be easier and easier. But until it's accepted, then one can't do anything. Yeah? Okay. Yes?
So Maharaj, the role of skill is only to make the application wider for the varna?
To make the application?
Of the particular varna more wider, because if you have more...
Wider. Wider, but even just, you could say, viable.
Okay.
You know, it means if you don't have the skill, it means like, it's basically like this. Let's say the person knows everything about business and how it works but can't make money. Will you call them a Vaishya? But they know how it works and they can tell you how it works, and someone else who can make money can take that knowledge and make money. Okay? So what do you call that person?
Professor.
Professor, yes. Like that. He teaches at the university business management. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. You can tell from there. So the skill makes it viable. So what's his skill? He can teach. But he can't do that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And if he's teaching PE, then...
Maharaj, it is beneficial for devotees. It is beneficial to say to the devotees who are under Shala Dharma authority to don't need to follow him.
But what's wrong with the person's authority? What are they doing wrong? Because you're saying they're taking advantage. So is that a matter of skill or is that a matter of quality? It's like this. Okay, they're running the temple. Is the temple running nicely? If the temple's running nicely, but they take a little extra facility for themselves or they're too puffed up about their position, but your service in the temple, is it going to make any difference? You know what I'm saying? If we're dealing personally, it's a bit annoying, but as far as you're doing your service in the temple, does it matter?
First of all, there's nobody in the temple.
Wait. You can't take it that far, because Prabhupada on the Vyasa-san and Gorni Thai, Jagannath, Radha Krishna, they are people. So you can't say there's no one in the temple. That would be wrong. Okay. So, but the point is somebody's organizing. Who does puja when and this and that. So is there any fault in that? In the skill, is there any fault? You have to think about it. So generally not. It's the qualities that annoy you. So the thing is, so if you don't follow, then what's the alternative? Everyone's going to stay at home, do their own thing. They're going to get no association, no deity worship. And so then, according to what Narad Muni said, that the reason deity worship was started was because the qualities of people were reducing. So the solution to the problem is performing that deity worship. So now if they stop and just do their own thing, then what does their own thing end up looking like? Not very good. So how is that a solution? You understand? So in other words, you can do your service. What does it matter what anybody else's character is? You can do yours. And if somebody's organizing that to make it work better, that's better than nothing. So, right? Blind uncle is better than no uncle. Means what's his name? The one that came out of the thighs. No, the one that they churned his thighs. Vena, yes. So Vena is there, so being able to do the kingly duties, it's never said that he can't administrate. Nowhere does it say he was a bad manager. But he didn't have the good qualities. But him managing was better than no one managing. Right? Until his qualities overpowered the manager, where now he was turning the management upside down. Then at that time they removed him. And he was removed by those who had better qualities than that. It wasn't a, you know, revolution of the masses. Does that make sense? So the point is even if the leadership is not good, if you are able to do your service, you'll go back to Godhead. Now everybody else, that's another thing. Because if you're not in a position to actually adjust it or do it yourself, then what's the meaning? You know, what else do you have? Right? Means Yudhishthira Maharaj went to the forest. Who was left in charge of the kingdom for 14 years? Duryodhana. So now you wouldn't call him ideal association, but he managed the kingdom. So all the Brahmins, everybody are able to do their duties and all that. It may not be that he's a great inspiration, but he leaves them alone, they can do their duties. So then what's the problem? You know, because if we say, as though you can't do this, then you have to take it all the way up. How are they functioning in their particular country? Is that all the leadership of the country is all, you know, perfectly God-conscious and all perfect qualities? No, but they're going on just fine. So why is it that this particular authority is the one that we're so worried about? You know what I'm saying? So it's they're just picking whatever they like. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, it's political more than it is devotional. Does that make sense? Does that work? Kind of. Yeah. It means it'll work because we don't like the idea because we wouldn't want to be seen ourselves as in a political light. No, we're just acting from pure devotion for the perfect, pure benefit of the whole community. We only have everybody's like this in mind, but who are these everybody? Who are these? Who is this everybody?
Either the devotees can't keep doing the service, but the point is...
If they can't do the service... No, but they can't do or they don't want to do. There's a difference. Can't means that just when you come to do the artik, the door is locked.
Only the authority does the artik. Nobody else can do
The artik. But then if that's all there is you need one pujari. It's just like here in Mayapur, we have 40 pujaris. All they do is do all the artiks. That's pretty standard. Lord Chaitanya's time, the pujaris did all the artiks. But the point is by watching the artik, you get the same benefit as the pujari. And in watching the artik, you don't have to look at the pujari. You can look at the deities. You know, does that make sense? You know, so it's not that everyone's sitting there during the lamp going like that. You know, you watch the deities.
the kids do.
They get dizzy. That's half the fun, right? Get dizzy and fall over again. So you watch the arti, sing the kirtans. So you can do something. So the point is if he's just doing all the activities, that means you don't have a whole lot going on. You know, okay, he's giving all the classes in the temple, but what about classes in the community? Why isn't the community having regular programs in the evening? That's what Prabhupada said should be happening. So who's going to be lecturing at that? He can't be lecturing at all of them. So then they can do their preaching. You know, at your home, you have your deities, you do your artik, or you have your picture and stuff like that, you do. You make your own offerings because you're eating at home. Everything's in the temple, you live in the temple, do everything like that, but then you're doing something else because he's doing the artik, he's probably having you wash the plate. So then you're doing service. You understand? So the point is we can do service and find service. But generally we think, no, it's whoever does the artik and dresses the deities that everyone will see. That's the service I have to do. Taking out the garbage, who wants to do that? Driving the van down to the market and pick up all the, stuff from behind the Walmart, no one wants to do that. But it's very important. That's how everybody eats. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing is we decide, I should be doing this one, and then someone else is doing it, and then that's... You understand? So if you want service, Krishna will give you service. Hanuman's service when he came back to the palace was snapping his fingers in front of Ramachandra's mouth when he yawned. That's it. Here's the great Hanuman carrying mountains, killing the big demons, the great general of the army, and that's the only service he has because everybody else is already doing everything. And he's not complaining. He's very happy. He sits up there in the corner and just waits. And as soon as Ramachandra yawns, he jumps down and starts snapping his fingers. You know?
What's the story?
And he yawned and couldn't... He couldn't close his mouth because he's doing the service and the devotion. He has to accept the service. So he can't close his mouth. And everybody's thinking, why was he yawning for so long? So they're all looking at Ramachandra and think, is there something wrong? Why is he always yawning? And then at the end they figure out, it's because he's, out of his, appreciation of the devotee, he's reciprocating the devotee's devotion. So he can't close his mouth until, because Hanuman's point is, that's his service, so he's going to do that 24/7. And so then at that point Sita Devi said, okay, you stop snapping, I'll give you another service. So then he stopped snapping his fingers, and then Ramachandra closed his mouth. Like that. So that's the point, is that we're happy to do anything. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference, is we have to know what is leadership. Like I mentioned, was Jayananda, right, for the San Francisco Ratha Yatra. He was the temple president and all that. But in the morning, because they had one shower, literally one shower, and 300 brahmacharis. So now, in the modern scenario, you'd leave that to anybody else because anybody can manage the shower. But the point is anybody can't manage the shower. But here's the authority, here's the leader and all that. He tells you have 30 seconds. You want to take 20 seconds. Because he tells you, he explains to you and all this and that. And you do it. Now, if he had given it to anybody else, there would have been riots. And then you have to put a guy in charge of the guy in charge because that didn't work and that didn't work, so this have to make a committee how to work out who's going to be. They'll just keep going. But all he did is just went there himself. And everybody 30 seconds, like that, and they went through, and everybody's there for Mangal Arti, all 300 of them, and Hari Bol. So it just meant he had to get up, half hour, 45 minutes earlier than normal. So that's leadership. Not the, you sit in your office and you work out who's going to be doing what, and that's all, like that. That you just need a kayasta for that. You hire people to do that. In a sense. So that's the whole point. So if that's there, then it works. Okay? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.